I am excited about what God has shown me this week. I don't know, I think for all of us who are sharing on a Sunday or at whatever time God asks us to share, it's always, well, God, it's not about me, it's about you. What do you want me to share? And this week, when I asked God that question, there was a word, two words in my head, and I could not get rid of them. I am. God, I don't really understand when you said to Moses, and go and tell them, I am, has sent me. But I couldn't get rid of it. I just could not get out, escape from the words, I am. And so I started to pursue it. And I'm going to share with you today some thoughts that God gave me on this and how he just fit it all together for me. He brought stuff that I've never read or seen before. But that's the Holy Spirit. He brings things to our remembrance and he links it all together for us. We don't have to do anything. God does everything. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to do everything for you and for me because he's God. And he wants to submit him to him in that way. And the first scripture that I want to share is Exodus chapter 3. You follow it in yours if you like, but I'm reading here from the Message Bible, and it's Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Father, I thank you for your wonderful, amazing word. Thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing God. We just cannot put into words or describe you. You are truly indescribable. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to empower me this afternoon to share a glimpse of who you are and how we should approach you, because you are truly an awesome God. Amen. Exodus 3, from verse 13 to 15. This was actually when Moses was in the wilderness. Ever been in that place? I tell you, in the wilderness is the place where God speaks to you. And you think, God, you can't be here. There can't be anything in this place. But the wilderness is the very place where God will speak to you. If you want to listen to him, and he will do everything to get your attention. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And he piqued Moses' curiosity. And he went to see why the bush was not consumed. And God spoke out of that bush, and he said to Moses, Then Moses said to God, what makes you think that I could ever go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? God said to him, I will be with you. And this will be the proof that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, you will worship God right here at this very mountain. And verse 13, then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your fathers sent me to you, and they ask me, what's your name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent me to you. Praise God. God continued with Moses. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, sent me to you. This has always been my name. And this is how I will always be known. We know that names often signify character. They often signify ability or mission. And names are very important. And it's something that you are called continually. When somebody calls you by your name, they're speaking something about your character. So it's good to have a Christian name, because it'll be all good and godly things that are said and are spoken over you as somebody speaks your name. That's why in the early church they used to change the names if they had a pagan one. They would change it to a Christian name at their baptism because they wanted to be recognised and associated and blessed by the living God. We know that Eve, her name meant mother of all living. She truly was. That was her destiny, her mission. She was the mother of all living. Adam, his name means red earth. Where did all of us come from? From dust we came and to dust we shall return. Adam came, God made Adam from the red earth, the dust of the earth. Jacob, God changed his name to Israel after he'd wrestled with God all night. And it's wonderful this, because the name Israel means God wrestler. Now can you tell me, does that not fit the Israelites? Even to this day they wrestle with God, and yet God is so patient with us. And if you want to make a note of that scripture, it's in Genesis 32 and verse 28. Jacob was very much a wrestler, and so were his children and their children, and continue to be. And I guess we all wrestle with God from time to time. This is beautiful. The name Jesus. And what did the prophet say? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what his destiny was. That's what his mission was. And that was in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. There's not just one name for God. God has quite a lot of names, and all these different names are expressions of who he is, what his character is like, and what he is going to do, and how he can meet your need in every situation. And all those names are packed with descriptions of who he is and what he intends to do. But one name I want to look at is the name above all names today, and that's in Exodus 3. And we've already read it, Exodus 3, but verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's who you tell them I am. But what does it mean? In the Hebrew, this name has no vowels. Its letters are YHWH. And it cannot be spoken, it can only be breathed. It's like Yahweh. And we call it Yahoo. But his name was so revered that it could not be spoken, it could only be breathed. He was the breath, the life behind this name, the life of all existence, the life of everything created. This name is the most important name ever. This name says, I am. I am all powerful. He is not reliant on anybody else. He didn't inherit a set of genes. No person or power brought him into existence or shaped his personality. He had no beginning. He has no end. He is utterly absolute. What a measure. What a God. Malachi. The prophet Malachi says this in Malachi 3 and verse 6. I am God, and that word there is Yahoo. I am God, I change not. James chapter 1 and verse 17. To the early church he said, I am the God with whom there is no variation, no shadow, and no turning. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. He is God, absolute God. He's so absolute. He's absolute. He's unaffected
by outside influences or circumstances. Nothing takes him by surprise. Even the fall of man did not take him by surprise. God knew about that at creation, and he made provision for the fall of man. All energy, motion, and the other forces in the universe starts in him. Have you ever read about the throne room where God is? And there's thunderings, and there's lightnings, and there's flashings, and there's this voice that peals out down the ages of time. This is God. In Genesis, I always remember GC saying, in Genesis 1 and 2, sums up the whole of the force in creation. There you will find force, space, matter, and motion. The four things that make the universe tick. They're all in Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. He's an inexhaustible reservoir of power. He doesn't plug into anything. We plug into him. Wow. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, we have our existence in him. We won't exist. If God doesn't exist, we're finished. There's nothing for us to be empowered with. God is who he is. No one's opinion of him makes any difference. He says, I am who I am. We conform to God. God does not conform to us. You remember Jeremiah, he said at the potter's house, he said, the clay doesn't say to the potter, why have you made me this way? Many men have tried to challenge him and lost. Pharaoh, he tried to challenge God. Pharaoh thought he was God. And he tried to challenge God. And the ten plagues that God sent on Egypt were all to defeat the gods that the Pharaoh and the Egyptians worshipped. He destroyed, he decimated every one of them, and he said, you are not a god, Pharaoh, and all the gods that you worship are false gods, and I'll show you that they're false gods. And he demolished every one of the gods that Pharaoh and the Egyptians worshipped. And in the end, God said to him, he said, you've got my firstborn, you've taken my firstborn, now I'm going to take your firstborn if you don't let my children go. And he did indeed do all of that. And in the end, the people and Pharaoh said, just go, go, go and take all our possessions with you. Just get out of our sight. Because they knew that they were utterly defeated. The prophets of Baal, they were contesting with Elijah. And Elijah said to them, all right, I'll throw down this challenge. Let's see who's God. And they built an altar, and he said to the prophets of Baal, tell your God Baal to show himself, to reveal himself. And nothing happened, and Elijah mocked them and laughed at them, and he said, I'll show you who's God, the God who answers by fire. And this God who answers by fire lit that sacrifice, he consumed it, he consumed the altar, the stones, and they poured water over it. He showed himself to be the Almighty. I am who I am, and nobody will defeat me. I stay the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nebuchadnezzar tried to challenge him, And what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He became so arrogant and so proud of his position, of the nations he's conquered, and his mighty forces, and he said, I'm God, I'm equal to the Almighty. And God said to him, you've just thrown me a challenge, and I'm about to show you that you're not. And Nebuchadnezzar started to grow talons, and his hair grew, and he grew hair all over him, and he crawled like an animal. And I believe it was for 7 years he was outside the city, like an animal, like a beast, living, crawling, until he came to his senses. 7 years it took him to come to his senses and acknowledge that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, was the Almighty Yahweh God, the sovereign God. Job, praise God, Job believed in God, but he didn't know God in the way that God was going to about to reveal himself to him. And it was through trial and tribulation that God revealed himself to Job. And when Job had gone through all of this, he said these words, I heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see you. Now I see how almighty you are, how awesome you are. And he repented in dust and ashes because he saw the awesome God who loved him and protected him. And he said those famous words, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He submitted to this sovereign God. Sadly, men today are still challenging in him. They're still saying, the more we discover about the universe, the more we deny him. Although his signature is everywhere. His signature's in the heavens. His signature's in the oceans. His signature is all over creation. But man says, I refuse to acknowledge this God. I refuse to say that he is God. I am my own God. I will make my own destiny. And God said to me, I am God. I am who I am, and I will show you I am who I am because I love you. And you can try and escape from me, but you will never escape from me. You will know surely that I am God. I was thinking today about the time when man first landed on the moon, and I suddenly thought, oops, I wonder when that was. It seems a while ago now. And I checked it on the internet, and it was in 1969 that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were the first two men to walk on the moon. Buzz Aldrin is not a Christian. He's the one that the world chooses to remember the most. But I don't. He was the pilot. But Neil Armstrong was the mission commander. And he was the one who first stepped on the moon, and he picked up his Bible and he read Genesis chapter 1. And I thought, that was amazing. And I remember we had a telly and I sat and I watched it. And I wasn't a strong Christian at that time, but it so impacted me. This man who landed on the moon, he didn't give praise to NASA, he gave praise to God. He said, God, the God of all creation. He's real, he's living, and I'm stood looking. What a beautiful position to be, stood on the moon looking at this diamond of the earth in the atmosphere. Oh, just stunning. The most awesome thing about all this is, as almighty as God is, he comes to us through Jesus as our Father. I can call this God who you can't even breathe, you cannot say his name, you have to breathe his name. He's so reverent, so awesome, so important. Is utterly absolute and indescribable. Everything comes out of him. This God I can call Father because of Jesus. It's an unspeakable privilege of knowing this, I am the Almighty. In John chapter 8, when you get this into perspective, you see why it's so ludicrous to question God. He knows. He is sovereign. And we have no right to challenge him and say, why did you do that? Why did you let this happen? Because he is sovereign. And he will only work for your good and for what's best. He doesn't want us to challenge him. He wants us to embrace him and watch him turn bad situations for good, because he's almighty. He has a plan and he knows what he's doing. And Jesus said these words to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verses 56 to 59. Again, I'm reading from the Message. The Pharisees were questioning him. He's talking about, he knows what, I'll have to read just a bit more. Jesus said, he was talking to the Pharisees, if I turn the spotlight on myself, it wouldn't amount to anything. But my Father, the one you say is your Father, put me here at this time and place of splendor. You haven't recognized him in this, but I have. If I, in false modesty, said I didn't know what was going on, I would be as much as a liar as you are. But I do know what's going on, and I'm doing what he says. Abraham, your father, with jubilant faith, looked down the corridors of history, and he saw my day coming. He saw it and he cheered. The Jews said, you are not even 50 years old, and you saw Abraham. Believe me, said Jesus, I am who I am. I am long before Abraham was anything. That did it. They were spitting feathers. They were ready to push him over the cliff. They were so incensed that he would dare to equal himself with the great I am. But he is the great I am. Because what did he say to us? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. This is Jesus. This is what he is to us. David knew this wonderful Father. I read Psalm 36 a few weeks ago, and there's just a section that I want to read from the Message here. This is what David said about him. He said, God's love is meteoric. His loyalty is astronomic. His purpose is titanic. His verdicts are oceanic. Yet in his greatness, nothing gets lost. Not a man or not a mouse slips through the cracks. He sees everything. He sees a mouse, and yet he created all of this. David in Psalm 33, in verses 6 through to verse 19, prophesied this. The skies were made by God's command. He breathed the word and the stars popped out. He scoops the sea into his jug and put ocean in his care. Earth creatures bow before God. World dwellers, down on your knees. Here's why. He spoke, and there it was. God takes the wind out of the pretense of Babel. He shoots down the world's power schemes. God's plans for the world stand up. All his designs are made to last. Blessed is the country with God as God. Blessed are the people he puts in his will. From high in the skies, God looks around and sees all Adam's brood. From where he sits, he overlooks us, all the earth dwellers. He has shaped each person in turn. And now he watches over everything that we do. I think this is quite apparent for this weekend. No king succeeds with a big army alone. No warrior wins by brute strength. Horsepower is not the answer. No one gets by on muscle alone. Watch this. God's eye is on everyone who respects him. The ones who are looking for his love. He's ready to come to their rescue in bad times. And in lean times, he keeps body and soul together. David had a wonderful revelation of God, and I've got to read this one because this is just the most stunning, and it just eclipses and just brings together everything that I'm trying to say today. I'm not going to read it all, but it's Psalm 139. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. You can't hide from God. You're just an open book to him. Even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking, God. You know when I leave, and you know when I get back. And he knows when you want to bust and to jump. He knows everything. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me, and you're there. I look in front of me, and you're there. Then up ahead, and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much. It's too wonderful. I can't take it in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I fly on the morning's wings, you're already there and waiting. Then I said to myself, oh no, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in light. In fact, darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you, God. Oh yes, you shaped me, first inside and then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, that you're breathing, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm just marvellously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before one of them ever came to be. That is so comforting. Before you were born, God had every day of your life planned from beginning to end. And they were all good plans. Go with God's plans. Don't try and be God of your own destiny. Let him take you where he's destined you to go, and you'll have the most great, fantastic, successful life. John 14 and verses 19 to 20. Jesus said this. He was saying to his disciples, because I'm alive, you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you. Can you grasp that? Jesus said, I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you. This God, who is indescribable, who is unexplainable, who cannot be contained, lives in you and me. Just puts your mind out to grasp completely. You cannot work him out, but by faith we know. He lives because we've come alive. I know that God lives in me. He's brought me alive. My spirit came alive when I accepted Christ into my heart. Something burst in me, burst into life. The life of God began to stream into me. Yesterday morning, when I'd sort of got all this in my head and before I got it down on paper, I just wanted to go to the internet and find out a little bit more about a clip that we watched some years ago, and it's by a man named Louis Giglio. You've got to have heard of him, and if you haven't, go on the internet and look at, there's lots of little clips. Louis Giglio is a man who shares many, he's not a scientist, he's a clever man, and he loves God and the universe, and he shares many discoveries that he's made about God and the universe. And just to give you a little glimpse of what we're talking about today with the heavens, here are a few facts on one of his clips that he says. We live in the Milky Way. The Milky Way is our street in the universe. This is just phenomenal. Our Milky Way, its size is 100,000 light years across. I can't grasp that. It's 100,000 light years across. It contains billions of stars. This is the big thing. There are hundreds of billions of other galaxies. Other galaxies, not just the Milky Way. There are hundreds of billions of Milky Ways in the universe. The universe cannot be measured in yards or meters. It requires a ruler that is 5.88 trillion miles long. And this is my God. The only way we can try and measure and get to space, they had to use a measure 5.88 trillion miles long. And I understand it's still expanding. I am the Almighty. I am who I am. Don't question me. I am. And I know what I'm doing. And I love you. And I'm in you. And I'm talking to you. And I'm seeing everything that happens to you. And not a mouse slips through the crack. I am. I see everything. I love you. I asked, when I went on this site, I was purely looking for his explanations of the universe and the galaxies. But I noticed amongst the clips, he'd done another clip. And guess what it was called? I am. I thought, I've got to click on this one. And I'd asked, I said to Andrew, I said, is there any way we can grab this off the internet and share it in church on Sunday? And he said, well, there is, but it might take me a while to figure it out, but I know a man who can. So we asked Daniel if he could take this off the internet and just share this last bit about God, the great I am.
I need hope and the answers. I am. Who could possibly be smart enough to figure all this out? I am. What works? I am. What lasts? I am. What's the latest thing? I am. What's the hippest thing? I am. I need a fresh start. I am. I need a bigger story. I am. My vision is bigger than my resources. I am. Nothing is real anymore. I am. Who can I trust? I am. I'm not sure who's on my team. I am. Nobody's listening to me. I am. I don't have a prayer. I am. My marriage is sinking, and I don't know where to turn. I am. I've always hoped for a marriage in the future, but I don't know what's going to come. I am. I can't hold on. I am. I'm pouring into others. Who's pouring into me? I am. If we fail, who'll get the job done? I am. Not sure why I'm here. I am. I've given all I can give and it's not enough. I am. I'm tired. Amen? I am. I quit. I am. I can't. I am. I need a drink. I am. I need a fix. I am. I need a lover. I am. I just need somebody to hold me. I am. I am the first and the last and the beginning and the end.
Says it all. It would be lovely if we could sing that song. What a beautiful name it is. You have no equal, you have no rival. Yours is the name above all names. Wow, this God is my God, he's my Father. He's there for me. He's always on my side. He's amazing.